listening to the Hometown Losers, the St. Louis Sports Podcast, with Josh, Adam, and OJ.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back here to the Hometown Losers Podcast. This is session number 18. I am joined always here by OJ and Adam. Gentlemen, how are we doing on this opening day weekend?
Well, glad the Cardinals are back. Opening day, the best day of the whole year, in my opinion. So I'm in a good mood. How's OJ doing?
Yeah, I took the day off work to watch that game, so
I'm doing pretty good. There we go. Yeah, I was going to say, everybody, there should be a St. Louis holiday. Everybody should be off work today for sure.
It pretty much is. There's so many businesses that already like do that. You know what I mean? So it's kind of crazy.
I gave it minimal effort. Okay. Just don't tell my boss.
Exactly right. Minimal effort Thursday. There we go. Right.
Yep.
That was Monday.
We'll have nothing to pay attention to tomorrow, though. So
No. Which it actually worked out because they're calling for some bad weather tomorrow.
A lot of rain.
So at least, So at least it won't be rained out. So I think we're playing again Saturday at 1:15. Yes, sir.
So let's go ahead and jump straight in here to the open day. I kind of want to get a review here. I'm just going to blow through some stats of the open day. Then let's do a general discussion for it. So Cardinals lost 10-9 to the Blue Jays. Just going through some statistics here. Donovan was 3-for-6, 2 RBIs, a home run, 3 runs. Newt was 1-for-4 with 2 walks, a strikeout. He got a run as well. Goldie, 2-for-4 with an RBI, a strikeout, a run, a walk. Nato was 2-for-5 with 3 RBIs. Contreras, before he got injured, was 2-for-4 with a 1 strikeout, 2 runs. Bronillo, 1-for-4 with that home run, 2 RBIs, 1 walk, 1 strikeout, 1 run, which Bronillo now has hit 4 home runs in 4 consecutive opening days. That has tied the MLB record with 3 other people, which is crazy. Nolan Gorman, 1-for-3, 2 walk, 2 strikeouts. Walker, 1-for-5 with an RBI and a strikeout. Edmund, 2-for-5 with 1 run and a strikeout. Now to the pitching, Michaelis went 3.1 innings, gave up 10 hits, 5 runs, 6 strikeouts. Zach Thompson was phenomenal, 1.2 innings pitched, 1 hit, 3 Ks. Verhagen, 0.2 innings pitched, 1 hit, 1 K. Palante, 1.1 innings pitched, 2 hits, 1 run, 1 walk. Jordan Hicks, 1 inning, 3 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 1 strikeout. Helsley, 1 inning pitch, 2 hits, and 2 runs with 1 walk. Just some real quick hitters here for Toronto. They gave they got 19 hits on us. Springer was 5-for-6. Bachet was 4-for-6, and Chapman was 3-for-5. Gentlemen, what was your guys' impressions of opening day, you know, in general? Adam, let's start with you. What would you feel about the game?
Yeah, I mean, overall the game, which, by the way, just a little interesting tidbit, which I thought ran a little long considering that the pitch clock actually got implemented this year. Total game time, 3 hours, 38 minutes, where the average last year was 3 hours, 36 minutes. So just thought that was interesting tidbit that without the pitch clock, we might have been going over 4 hours. So it was definitely a long game, but it was very exciting going back and forth the whole time. We definitely addressed some of our better, some of the issues that we had last year with some better offense. We definitely fought back, especially being down. Down by 3 after the first, because obviously Michael had a lot of weak contacts, a lot of bloopers and stuff. But there were a few, there were big hits, but that we fought back, overall did pretty good job as fighting back. Obviously Contreras, he exited the game early with the knee, injury, but it looks like, it's probably going to be something minor that from what I can tell, I'm hoping. But overall, I think Jordan Walker, his debut, he played pretty well. He just needs to get used to the outfield a little bit more, just play the walls a little bit better. He's in a big spot, but I think he did pretty good. We'll just have to fight back, come Saturday when we play him again. And Flaherty's up against Kevin Gausman. So, definitely a good game, though, for sure.
Yeah, it was definitely exciting. OJ, what was your take on the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think our pitching was actually pretty good today. is just everything was just every little bit of weak contact was fighting its way through. And honestly, the Cardinals probably on most days win that game by 3 to 4 runs. But just today, I mean, like George Springer's 5 for 6, like he probably really only should have had one hit based on how hard he hit the ball with the other four. You know what I mean? Like
exactly. You know, and it's actually funny. So Adam and I talked right before the podcast, like essentially right after the game. And the exit velocity average for the hits out of 19 hits was 71.3 miles per hour. That's incredibly weak.
Wow.
You know, like an MLB
yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like probably should have won by at least 3 or 4 runs. But, you know, everything broke right for Toronto today. And, yeah, I mean, other than that, I saw a lot of good from a lot of our players. And I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting, too, you know, because, Adam, you brought up Walker. And, you know, I'm kind of on the opposite fence to that. You know, I thought that Walker, listen, you know, he's a rookie. He's obviously, this is a very big deal to make the open day roster in baseball heaven for the St. Louis Cardinals, especially at home, right?
A lot of pressure. He definitely has the nerves right now.
Yeah.
And he just
was up in a couple big spots. Exactly. Like his RBI was like, it was actually a double play ground out when they had like
fielder's choice. Yeah.
Yeah, they had like multiple runners on base and they get two outs out of it and only allow one run. So it's kind of more of a victory for the pitcher than him.
He beat out the run to first. But regardless, you know, you're
You're right.
He did. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
You're right. Up there almost in a situation. Double. Right. There's no outs. Bases are loaded. And you do hit into a double play. Now, good for him showing off the speed, because that was something that I did not know he really had, was that kind of speed down the baseline. But, you know, but to your point, OJ,
like 6'6", 250, you know, and he can really hustle, I tell you. Dude's a big guy.
Get down line.
Yeah, but he's
kind of like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Honestly, that dude is huge. And the way that he got to second base on that one, where it was like, you know, where Walker overthrew second, actually was going to third.
Yeah.
And I thought that play, when you watch the review, it would have been it was very close, but I thought he was out. Like, I thought that Nato made a brilliant strike, and I thought they got him, but obviously, you know, it was safe.
I definitely wish they had challenged that. But I think that over normal course of play, that ball's got to go to second. Like, I don't think he really had much of a chance of getting out at third, even with throw. So, like, you got to get that at second. That allowed a run to score. Like, Guerrero, I believe, came around to score again. So, if he had just hit his cutoff man and kept him at first, might have been a run off the board for Toronto, you know?
For sure. And I think that was, again, him being up in a big spot, feeling that, hey, I need to be able to show that I deserve to be up here. So, I'm going to show off my big arm and, you know, gun this guy out at third. When in reality, you know, especially with the Cardinals, and the Cardinal way to do things is play small ball, play the game the right way, hit the cutoff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Don't go for like the 1 in a million chance that he stumbles or something and you get him out, because like was already pretty close to third by the time he came up to throw. So,
If you saw Nato came up, you know, into pretty much like, you know, right with a shortstop position to catch and then strike, because he saw Vladimir Guerrero Junior going to second, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I
need to talk to him about for sure.
Yeah, and I think this is exactly kind of what you were talking about, OJ, with that, you know, that if he started in AAA this season, it would be okay because he needed more work in the outfield. I definitely saw that. I felt like he kind of made a misplay on one of the balls that dropped down and kind of let it get past him. Adam, you even alluded to that too, that, you know, he needs to learn to like use the walls and like how to get that and stuff.
100%. Yeah. And that'll come with time for sure.
Absolutely, it will. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, might like to see him learn some of that stuff a little more while he's in AAA than at the big leagues. But, you know, who knows? We'll see. You know, next game,
he had a pretty good.
Next game, there won't be as much fanfare. So,
yeah, you know,
exactly. I think
maybe they shake off the nerves a little bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You get the first one under your belt. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely has in spring training for sure. So I know he obviously was, you know, that was trailing off a little bit towards the end for sure, but hopefully he can recapture that.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Let's talk about that Contreras injury here, because obviously there's definitely some level of concerns. There's not been much that that has been come out and said, but Marmol did say after the game that the x-rays were negative. He does have to get an MRI. He will have to get three total MRIs from different positions, but yep. Everything is incredibly positive right now. It was labeled as a knee contusion. I mean, when you take 103 mile per hour fastball from Jordan Hicks off, like squarely off your knee, it's going to leave something, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, because that was just unfortunate. But, he knew it immediately, too, when he jumped up and was like, oh, crap, I'm on one leg here.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, it should be a pretty easy heal for him overall, especially if he didn't, you know, do anything other than just a contusion.
No ligament damage probably, or anything like that. Essentially,
yeah,
the deeper.
Yeah, it'll give him some pain or whatever, but.
Well, yeah, it's really kind of going to be like when the swelling and stuff goes down, because he's not going to be able to crouch very easily.
Yeah, that's the only thing that sucks is obviously if it's going to happen, it has to happen to our catcher. And obviously that's a pretty common thing, you know, more of a common injury for them. It sucks because people can pass him more than say others in that aspect for sure. Cause it will, especially when it swells, you see that, but I expect to see his, you know, quick recovery and he'll be back.
Yeah, hopefully he only misses like a few games or something. I was worried that's kind of like just a couple of weeks,
like a month. I was gonna say
those kind of injuries like are like heal up completely like within a couple of weeks. I thought.
Well, yeah,
they're projecting at this point that he will miss probably the rest of this series, but he'll be in for the second series is what they're projecting right now. If the MRIs come and show there's no damage, which they're not expecting at this point since the x-rays show no damage.
X-rays are good. MRIs are going to be coming back probably within the next couple hours is what I'm reading. So I think he'll be all right.
Good.
And then obviously the only other injury to report was Gallegos as well. He was dealing with some
Giovanni Gallegos.
Yeah, he was dealing with some lower back issues when he's day-to-day right now as well.
I mean, technically DeJong, too, but who cares about DeJong, right?
Well, yeah.
His mother.
I suppose. I suppose.
And I tell you, they showed the like update during the broadcast or whatever, and they showed him like the picture of him like in the middle of his swing, and he's got this like nasty grunt, and they just left it like on his face and almost like zoomed in on his face with this like nasty grunt for like 45 seconds. I'm like, well, you can't just like show like his roster picture or anything. It's got to be this like weird picture of him like mid swing like grunting because he's swinging as hard as he can. Like, what are you doing?
By the way, totally unrelated here, but is Cardinals related. Just wanted to shout out to Waino and the nice surprise there where he sang the national anthem, and that was a really cool opening day surprise for everybody, the fans, including our his fellow teammates, and they were the look on some of their faces whenever they
Montgomery was hilarious.
Montgomery, he's just like dying. He's like, what? It was so cool. Anyway, so after he retires, maybe he could become the Charles Glenn for the Cardinals and sing the national anthem on occasion.
He might need a couple more lessons first. I've got to say,
he's a singer. He's not too bad.
His voice is pretty good. Oh, he was pitchy, dude. He was all over the place. I mean,
he was a little pitchy.
It's refinement.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He needs to learn more. Not that he doesn't have a fine voice. He can just stand to put a little more work into it before he becomes a professional. Got that. Yeah.
Right. And I think that he's got to, like, it was kind of weird. As you said, pitchy, he was, like, leaning into that, like, country twang that he's got. And then he goes back into it. And I'm like, okay, are you trying to, like, is it a ballad or is it a country song? Like, you just got to figure out which one you want
to
go with.
And that's going to say that the anthem is hard to sing for a lot of people.
He ended singing so much slower than he began as well. Like, the accompanying musicians are like, they did a good job.
I was going to say, I've listened to it.
Yes, it did.
definitely have listened to him, sing some country before. And he's actually pretty decent, when he's singing country. But obviously, the anthem is a lot harder to sing than country, some of the country songs that he's used to, for sure. But I just thought it was a cool little touch, especially, since his last year.
It was awesome.
And I thought that was a really cool to see that. So
I want
it definitely gave me some goosebumps.
The national anthem.
Yeah, there we go. Could you imagine? Funny
with that. Him and Pujols do a duet.
Steven Oh, man. Oh, man. That would be hilarious. But yeah, it definitely had all the, you know, the pregame ceremonies and everything. I was kind of surprised I didn't see Tony La Russa, but I guess I hope he's okay. But everybody else probably showed up. And
you'd probably either get him or Scott rolling. Like, I don't think they both would show up at the same time. So,
well, I think he had some health issues, is what that was you're hearing as well. So, anyway.
Yeah, the health issues. Yeah. And some of that, you know, it's just, you know, age and stress. I think he'll be okay, but he's not terribly too far removed from, you know, being a manager again for the White Sox, you know. So, like, I think some of that is, you know, he's still kind of recovering from that and dealing with all that stress and stuff.
Man. For sure. But, you know, I'm glad to see everybody else show up. And obviously it was a good opening day, and it's always always exciting for the St. Louis fans, for the Cardinals. So it was good to see.
I don't know if you guys did see it, but they allowed or Scott Rolen came, they were all coming out or whatever. Uh-huh. They had Scott Rolen go out by himself for a little bit to get the recognition for the Hall of Famer. I'm like, that's really cool. You know, it's just a moment.
They brought him in. Yeah. They get at the very end there, came out of the dugout. Cause that was pretty cool, and got the big round of applause for there. So, which I thought was awesome.
Did you guys see who's on the ballot? Go on, Adam.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah, did you see who's on the ballot for the next induction for the Hall of Fame for the Redbirds?
No.
No.
I haven't seen that. Edgar Renteria is one of them. David Freese is one of them. And then I can't remember who the other ones were. I can look that up. But I thought that was kind of cool, like the fact that they're already thinking about that. I don't – like, listen, David Freese had – he's going to be a living legend, obviously, in St. Louis. I don't know if he deserves to be a Hall of Famer for the Cardinals, you know what I mean? But, you know, to each their own.
Well,
I think
he did play the best game in Cardinal history, so, you know.
Yeah, that is true. I think Edgar Renteria definitely deserves it. I mean, like, he played with us for such a long time and was a really good shortstop, you know what I mean?
Wait, isn't
Steve Carlton is another one, Matt Morris, there's a few others.
Yeah, isn't there like Joaquin Andujar also maybe?
Oh yeah, yep, Joaquin.
That's what I said. Those were the two names that popped out to me, and I did catch that at the very end of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh well, he probably should be in too. Like,
yeah, Steve Carlton has been out here on the ballot for like 5 years. Matt Morris has been out here for 8 years, so he's getting ready to fall off here pretty soon. Same with Edgar.
Matty Mo.
Yeah, Edgar Renteria has been on the ballot for 8 years as well. So, yeah, those guys probably aren't going
to
make it. But
maybe we need to put Matt Morris in, huh? Vote for him this year.
I'm going to say it's going to have to happen quick because he's already on the ballot 8 times. So, he's been on the ballot long as same amount of time that he was with the Cardinals each season. So.
Yeah, for sure. Well, getting back to the game, guys, and out of this, we've already talked a little bit about, Contreras' injuries and Walker. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any other concerns that kind of popped out to you about this game or going forward into the future? OJ, we'll start with you on this one. I mean, do you have any other concerns or anything that pops out to you that we really need to work on?
Yeah, not with the team overall necessarily, but, some of the individual performances are a bit concerning. Like, Jordan Hicks had a little bit of a tough time. I think Andre Pallante maybe had a little bit of a rougher inning than we would like to see, but he's all against a really, high octane offense as well. So our pitchers aren't going to look as good as they would against average teams. So, and then,
the fact that again,
also,
like they were barely getting hits, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, because, Jordan Hicks did get victimized, now that I think about it. He had a lot of weak contact hits against him, too. We made some mistakes. Don't get me wrong. And that we could have won this game if not for some of these mistakes we made. But there's a lot of luck was in the Angels, on the Blue Jays side today also.
I definitely
agree. Yeah, agreed. They were getting some calls there that were questionable.
Yeah, in the last inning, that one strike call on Brendan.
They were some terrible.
So
absolutely garbage. Yeah.
I don't remember seeing any like way outside ones for the Blue Jays, but I saw a couple for us where it was like a foot, 2 feet off the plate in the call a strike.
Yep. Like, and they were calling all this. But yet, for us, you know, we're painting the inside corner, you know, and we're not getting anything like
that
nothing,
dude. Yeah, really. He used Michaelis early in the game and then he expanded his zone as the game went on, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not consistent.
About say he,
so,
yeah.
It's opening day for him, too. You know, like, again,
for
it was
sure.
A lot
for
of.
Sure. But if, hey, yeah, if I get to bitch, I get to bitch. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was just inconsistent. But to OJ, to your point, I think that really hurt Michaelis's game because Michaelis is all about that control into the corners and stuff. Uh-huh. And when he was not getting the calls, he's like, great. So now I got to put in the heart of the plate. Okay, great. Uh-huh. You know?
Yeah, like the first. Well,
Look like the first pitch.
Yeah, the first pitch he threw was like right just above the knees, like perfect strike. And it's a ball. Mm-hmm. Like, I got to go higher than that. Like, you just want me to put it right in their wheelhouse. Or it's not a strike. Yeah, exactly. Like, come on, dude. That's a little ridiculous.
Yeah. I definitely think our pitching definitely got beat up for that, for sure. You know?
Yeah. And then you have to have, like, a 30-pitch first inning, you know?
All five, yeah.
Yeah. When you reasonably probably should have been out of it a little earlier, but whatever. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
Like I said, I know this kind of thing happened early in the year, like a year or two ago, with Wainwright on the mound against the Reds. I remember that really well, where they just had like the most ridiculous batted ball luck I've ever seen, and they completely got a win out of it. it's frustrating, man. But what are you gonna do?
It is, and exactly, and hopefully it just gets better, you know, as the season progresses, right?
Yeah. So and hopefully we can have our games like that too.
Yeah, for sure.
Everyone's hitting so well.
You know, speaking of. You know, kind of like pitching and like concerns around that. Because you already talked about Pallante. You know, Hicks, I kind of give the pass for because, again, as you said, OJ, he kind of got victimized by like these weak ass hits. But Helsley, when you're a closer and it's a one run game and you start the inning with a walk, and if I remember correctly, it was a 4-pitch walk, like you cannot have that. You know what I mean? Especially from an all star closer. I get it. He did not finish the season, you know, very well because of like injuries, but he was lights out for such a long time. So like you just, you know, and it gets first game, but it, like you just cannot have that the rest of the season. Well, you know, walk will kill you.
That walk gave up the game winning run. I mean, honestly, they score one run.
That's the thing. You got to stop that before it gets away from you. Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah. You go to the bottom of the ninth, haunt you every time.
So, yeah, that's like what I was thinking about, too, with the some concerning performances. But it's also the first game and opening day is different. There's a lot of distractions for everybody involved. Yes. So you have to think. And, you know, the players feel a lot more pressure to be successful on opening day. So,
of course,
you know,
especially in front of the home crowd. Season. Yeah. And in St. Louis. Yeah.
We'll see after Saturday, you know, and you know, how they're playing, if they're still doing the same, you know, it's like, okay, do we have a real problem or not? But obviously we'll see. I mean, they did over, I mean, obviously it doesn't really matter. It doesn't, you know, because it was spring training, but overall they performed, you know, pretty well in spring training for sure. You know, finishing, I think first in the Grapefruit League in general. So it obviously doesn't mean shit, but the point is that they did coming into opening day, they were a pretty good team. So. All things considered.
Yeah. You know, I do have one small concern, and I guess it's kind of I'm wondering how Flaherty's going to do tomorrow because, I mean, he could get legitimately lit up if he's not feeling this stuff. Like, you know, so next thing you know, they light Flaherty up because he can't command his fastball or something. And now you're down 0-2 to start the season, and it's like, this sucks. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's such a long season, but, you know, especially being a part of Cardinal Nation, it's really hard to not overreact in those situations. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially like we talked. Right. We talked about like in this offseason about how, you know, we were kind of somewhat disappointed. You know, at least I was, Adam, I know you were too, you know, about not going out and maybe getting another move, whether it's a pitcher, whether it's a shortstop, whatever. But then as things got progressive and you saw, like, in spring training, you got more and more excited. So it's like all this buildup, and it's like, you know, you start the season by getting swept by the Blue Jays. Yay. You know, right. Like, if that happens, that's definitely going to lean back to, damn it, Mo, you should have gone and got somebody. You
know what I mean? I think that's a bit over. I mean, I know you obviously don't feel that way, but certainly a overreaction. I don't anticipate that'll happen.
Yeah.
I mean, considering how well, I think this game was so damn close, you know what I mean? It truly was. It came down to literally the bitter end. And obviously some things just, I think part of it was just bad luck as well.
Oh, 100%.
So, yeah,
for sure.
Our hitters did legitimately well.
Showed up. Yep.
9 runs, and that was mostly legit. We definitely had some BABIP hits for sure. Like, I think Tommy Edman had one where he basically had a swinging bunt, you know, but like,
yeah.
Overall, yeah. Our hits were
9 runs and 15 hits. That's pretty damn good, you know?
Yeah.
And also, yeah.
Like 99.99% of the games you play.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
9 runs, 10 hit or 15 hits. They just, performed us a little bit, so it is what it is, you know.
Yep. The only other concern that I had, and it got better as the game progressed, was Nolan Gorman, right? I mean, he starts, you know, his season with a strikeout. He got a single on his next bat, then struck out again. And I'm sitting there going, here we go. He either, you know, he swings and misses, or like he's, you know, obviously he's going to get hit. But like, you know, but then he drew 2 walks after that. And I'm like, okay, you know, maybe starting to like get a little bit better at that. But I'm like, at the DH position, like I get it. Gorman's got a lot of pop, but we talked about this last season, was his swing and miss. Like, he just swings at so much trash and misses it, you know? Hopefully that can get better, where he can draw more walks and be more productive for the team and be able to pass the baton off. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, he's always going to have some swing and miss more than other guys, but that's because he also has a lot of power. So he's definitely swinging for power most of the time up there. I mean, obviously he had a fine day today. I mean, if they're not going to throw the ball to you in the zone, then take your base, right? That's a really important mindset to have. That's part of the reason they scored so many runs.
Yeah, and I think that somebody talked to him in the dugout and just like, you need to just, you know, be like, compact yourself. You need to slow down. You need to like make sure that you're drawing walks in these situations, right? There's no reason for anything to like, you know, like for you to like continue to try. So we can't tie the game up with one swing of the bat most of the time. You can't, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Yeah. So I think that is, you know, and it was good that if somebody did do that, it's great that even in big situations, he calmed himself down, was able to draw those 2 walks. So that, again, that's why I said it was a little bit of concern, but I didn't even have it written down as a concern because he showed the progression even in game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
having that patience. Yeah.
And you know, one of those walks, the pitcher never threw him a single strike. You know, I mean, he had the one strike that the ump called a strike, even though it was way outside. But other than that,
way outside.
So the guy threw 5 balls and he got a walk, but he didn't swing at any of them either. So like, he's definitely got some plate discipline, which is good.
Exactly. It's just, and that's what we needed from him.
He probably will whiff at some stuff sometimes, but it's just really important for none of our players to have the mindset that, you know, they need to make something happen at the plate, because they've got a lineup full of people that are capable of driving runs in. So anyone can do it. If the pitcher wants to load the bases before he starts throwing strikes, let him, you know.
Exactly.
You have faith that the person that comes up behind you will do damage with that opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of the roster here, we kind of already did a roster, preview, so to speak, from last session. So I'm not really like, we don't need to touch on it too hard here, but pretty much, you know, it's the same roster that we thought it was going to be. Let me actually go through, because we obviously saw the, the starting lineup today. Obviously, we know that Jim Montgomery is going to be pitching. Jack Flaherty, as you said, is going to be starting on Saturday. Mats and Woodford are going to be, into the rotation here. The bullpen, we already saw, Helsley, Palante, Hicks, Stratton and Zach Thompson. Stratton was warmed up. He actually didn't get into the game. But Zach Thompson, Drew Verhagen. The biggest difference that I saw here was Yunus Cabrera was actually sent down. And we ended up bringing up Packy Naudin. What's your guys' take on, Packy Naudin being brought up instead of Cabrera? Because I thought Cabrera was kind of the guy that we were going to rely on a lot.
Yeah, so I think it's a command thing with Cabrera. And so, he obviously has the stuff. I think they are just kind of, I think they're more concerned about his command than they were when they initially called him up. And so now they're trying to make sure they do something about it before they give him meaningful innings again. Whereas with Packy Naudin, he may not have the best stuff, but you can figure he'll at least move the game along by throwing strikes, and get you some outs. Right. So.
Yeah, main thing with Packy is that, he's shown his ability to retire some left-handers consistently, but obviously his problem is, been at least last year with him against some right-handers, he had an average of 374. They had an average of 374 against him, all of the right-handers that faced him. So,
yeah.
But he's pretty solid reliever overall, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, I was just kind of surprised because I felt that the preview that we had was like really solid. It's like, okay, these are the names, right? And Naudin got brought up due to injuries last season, so obviously played a little bit with us. But, again, it's never a hurt to like get somebody optioned down to definitely work on his control. You feel a lot less pressure in those situations and stuff like that. So, again, that's where I believe the Cardinals organization knows what they're doing. It's, so. I think that is,
yeah.
To me, it was, I kind of felt disappointed, but at the same time, like if he was going to come up and all of a sudden, be giving up homers or like, walking everybody, then what's the point? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you look, this Genesis Cabrera thing goes back to last year. I believe he wound up in the minors last year too. I don't remember the sequence of events that put him there, but.
Well, I think he had like some sort of like strain on his arm or whatever. And so they kind of sent him down to get work. But I think he ended up staying there because like Packy Naudin came in, did good. But we kind of like had everybody, figured out because Plante was solid. Hicks was doing OK, and stuff like that. So I felt that maybe that's the reason why. Who knows? Right.
Yeah, it could be.
Well, let's transition here and talk about another, St. Louis team here. How about STLSC? Holy crap. Can these guys, they're amazing, right? 5-0 to start. First time ever in MLS history for, inaugural season at least. They're fun to watch, guys. That's the thing that I really like about this. OJ, you're really all about their defensive strategy. You know what I mean? You talk about it a little bit when we're playing Rocket League and stuff like that, right?
Just overall strategy, yeah. Like, their style, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, too. So what was it called again, OJ, so the listeners know?
It's I believe it's pronounced the Gegen Press, G-E-G-E-N Press. And it's how you counterattack. Like, when you don't have the ball, you fight relentlessly to get it back. And then once you win it back, you send attackers to support whoever won the ball, and you try and maintain it. And then you go, it's a really direct attacking style that puts a lot of balls on net. It gets a lot of corner kicks and that kind of stuff.
Relentless style, too, of putting people on and making other people uncomfortable. So when you're in possession of the ball, you feel uncomfortable that you have to get rid of it right away, forcing somebody into a mistake, right? And I think that actually works out really well. So some statistics I showed, so to the Gegen Press, right? We are actually number one with fouls committed in the MLS with 78, believe it or not. We are also number two, though, in interceptions. I'm sorry?
We do defend hard.
Yeah, we definitely do.
We don't get a lot of cards, though. I will say that from what I've seen so far anyway. So,
yeah, like keep it relatively common fouls. Exactly right. Yeah, just common fouls. Nothing egregious or anything like that. And that's something that hopefully we'll be able to have him on the podcast maybe next week. But Danny, who's our resident soccer expert, You know, we talked about that a little bit about how, you know, they were fouling, but, you know, fouling in the right way. And there is a way to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, in our second game, we kind of had a few yellows. We got a little bit more uncharacteristic or a little bit more sloppy. But again, we've kind of shaped that up a little bit too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here's some other statistics I want to, you know, point out real quick. So Klaus, second in the MLS with in goals with 5. Lowen's guy is tied for first with his in assists with 4. STLSC is number 1 in goals with 15. We're number 1 in goals inside the 18 box with 12. We're tied for second in goals outside that 18 with 3. Obviously, we're number 1 in points with 15 because we've gotten all 3 points out of every all the 5 games so far. We're number 1 in goal differential with 11. It's pretty crazy, you know, what we've been able to do in the inaugural season. We just look very good, and it's entertaining. You know what I mean? It's an entertaining brand of soccer too. And I think I'm very excited for what this club can continue on. Go on, Adam.
Yeah, I just was going to say for what, you know, we were expecting, you know, with low expectations coming into this, and the fact that they've just completely blown this out of the water with us, it's just been great for the city, great for the team, and it's definitely developing a huge fan following, you know, on top of what they already had. There was a lot of, you know, soccer fans and whatnot that were, you know, very excited that, you know, they're coming to town, but now they're drawing in, you know, some, you know, casual fans per se, and they're really getting a huge fan base because of this ride that they're on. So I hope they can keep it going. I know that there's some doubters out there saying, you know, hey, we've had a fairly easy schedule, etc. You know, wait until we face, you know, LAFC, etc., Atlanta. But honestly, looking even at Atlanta, how they've been performing, hasn't been outstanding this year either. So it's like, we'll see, you know.
Yeah. Atlanta, I think they have a lot of talent. But OJ, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I mean, some of it, some of this whole idea of a weak schedule is a little bit of circular logic, because you have, like, you know, they're like, oh, Austin FC is good because, you know, they made the Western Conference final last year, yada, yada, yada. We beat them. Now it's all of a sudden, oh, they're not so good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Like, trust me, I know that that's how they're
Well, I'm saying we're like 20 to 25% of some of our opponents' schedules. So the ones we spank, we make they look really bad, you know. So,
but that's what the naysayers, you know, have to say, of course. You know,
The most legitimate doubt I've heard that people have is they think that our style is not viable over the course of an entire season. It's just too physically demanding, because that's really what it is. It's a style where we're going to outwork the other team and make them tired and all that. But obviously that means you have to work pretty hard yourself. So it's fun to watch, and it really endears the team to me, and I'm sure a lot of people. That's where the naysayers are. They're saying once it gets into the middle of summer and it's hot as hell outside, and we've had a lot of games and stuff, are you going to be able to keep up this style? So we will see.
Injuries too. Because of the type of style we play too, they are going to be more vulnerable to injuries, because again, you're wearing down your body. So it is a legitimate concern, but you can say that for pretty much any type of style of play, right?
Sure.
I remember in the World Cup when they were talking about Spain, how they pass you the death, right? You know, they'll complete, you know, 1,500 passes in a single game, which is ridiculous. But their style is to not let you have the ball and wait for their opportunity to open. And so it's a very boring style. You know, they pass it back and forth. They pass it all the way back and they send it forward. But, you know, they try to make sure that they're passing and look for those opportunities. However, the biggest risk to that, though, is if you're not consistently attacking or you're not putting that much pressure, if you go down one goal, you might not get it back. And that's kind of what happened to Spain in the World Cup, right? So, I mean, obviously, you know, every single strategy is going to have a yin or yang, right? Of this is good, but, you know, it's a trade-off. It's a rock, paper, scissors game, so to speak. But, I mean, we'll see if they can continue to do it, you know, as you said, OJ, and, you know, are they going to get run down?
One interesting thing is that it's not like they've never done this before. I mean, they played this way with City S2 last year. And since we didn't have an actual team, a good core of our team that we're fielding for City SC this year played on City 2 last year, and they played this exact style, and they smoked that league. So there's some evidence to say that we can do it. But
absolutely. Yeah, again, I think the biggest to me, this is going to be one of the biggest tests, right? I'm a believer of them now. When we were 3-0, I was like, that's great, but I still have my reservations because there are a lot of really good teams, right? Specifically like LAFC, you know, they're not having the greatest season so far, but they have so much freaking talent on that roster, right? But the next three games, you have Minnesota on Saturday in 4-1. I expect us to be able to win that game, especially the way we played. The biggest test, though, is the week after at Seattle. The Seattle Sounders are a team that has won the MLS before a couple times. Mm-hmm. They're a very solid team, have a lot of veterans, and you're at Seattle. It's a rambunctious area. We see it from, you know, like the Seahawks and stuff. I mean, they love their soccer up there, too.
You
That's
guys
a true
see
test for me. Say it again, OJ.
I said, you guys see it. Oh,
God.
That's true.
That is true.
I was going to say, after Minnesota, the next couple games are going to be, obviously, you know, they're going to be
Cincinnati. Yeah,
they're going to be testing for us for sure, because obviously we're going to be at Seattle. And then after that, we're going to be hosting Cincinnati, which obviously they're second overall in the Eastern Conference. So, you know, the naysayers that say, they're playing pretty well. And so for the naysayers that say, you know, hey, you know, you had a quote unquote easy schedule, well, here's our time to prove them wrong. Yeah. So there you go.
Absolutely. Minnesota's an important game as well, because they're pretty well regarded as well.
They're playing pretty good.
They may not be quite that tier of. Right. Like they might not be in like the LAFC Seattle tier. But they're probably also a tier above a lot of the teams we've played so far this season. So,
100% agree,
Sure.
We'll have to see how it goes, you know, but, you know, hopefully we can continue to ride the hot streak and be able to just, you know, continue to put more goals in the net and be able to win some stuff, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
This Klaus dude, he's, like, awesome. Did you see that quote that he had where he was like, in Brazil, like, we have a saying, like, he's like, either my mother cries or your mother cries, and I don't like
that's right. Yeah, cry. I did read that. Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, and he's like, I don't like to make my mother cry. Exactly. Yes, I did read that.
He hates losing, dude. He's a winner.
Yeah,
it's funny, more of that attitude on the Blues.
Right.
God, you're not definitely lying. It's just that competitiveness, you know, that fire to, you know, consistently win and want to, like, and will it to win. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, I thought he was German, too, with the name of Klaus, right? But he's Brazilian. Well, yeah. It's like, that's crazy. But,
his first and last name are, like, Portuguese. His middle name is German, but he goes by Klaus. But, you know those Germans that, you know, post-World War II, you know, might have made a little bit of a move to South America, like those Germans.
Yeah. Oh, so that's why he's so good at just attacking. Okay.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Oh, I'm gonna get canceled here.
Klaus is definitely not his real name or his birth name for sure. It's like Klaus DeMello or whatever. It's not like just Klaus. It's not like that's just his last name. Yeah, Klaus.
Right.
No, that's like his middle name or something.
Exactly.
I'm not 100% certain how their culture does that. If they have, like, more than one first name.
But he did play in Germany, though, apparently, so for a while back in 2017.
Yeah, and I think that's where I got confused, is I heard that he played in Germany, and he's got a German, a German name. Yeah, so
apparently
that's why
he's German through his father. Yeah.
I got you.
But he was born in Brazil. Right. Yeah. That's the middle name, hence the middle name, I guess. So he does have some German heritage to him, or, you know, German blood.
Yep.
Gotcha. All right, guys, well, let's transition here to one of the tournaments that is finishing up here, March Madness. And we have some bracket challenge updates for the listeners here between OJ, Adam, and myself. I'm trying to get all excited. There's nothing really to get excited about. OJ,
this thing was decided a while back, honestly.
Yeah. I kind of stopped paying attention because I already knew I won.
Yeah, like this thing was already over pretty quick, honestly.
It's super funny too. So OJ wins with 53 points. His max is 53. So like literally all, everybody is gone out of this for everybody. Adam fought valiantly, got 47 points. And I, I'm still trying to finish the race. So to speak, in the 38 points.
Well, you know, as Ricky Bobby always says, if you're not first, you're last. But in this instance here, I was not, thankfully. So I wasn't first, but I wasn't last. So
well, hell, Ricky, I was high when I said that. You could be second, you could be third, you could be fourth. Hell, I could be fifth.
Hey, could you be fifth? Exactly.
Yeah, I can hold that exactly. a high on myself. I got a bronze medal in these games, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you medaled. You got the participation trophy. There you go. Exactly. Nice job, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, let's take a look at the Final Four preview here, because there's only three more college basketball games we got left, right? So you have number 5, San Diego State versus Florida Atlantic, University is number 9, so FAU. And then on the other side of the bracket, you have number 5, Miami, and then you have number 4, UConn, right? Let's talk about that San Diego State-FAU game. You know, I think it's going to be a very good game. FAU's been on one. Will they actually be able to get into the finals, or is San Diego State actually going to be able to turn them down? I'll start here with a prediction. I think that San Diego State's going to get into it. It's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. When I was filling out my bracket, I really actually truly believed in San Diego State. I thought, and I might even had them going to the Sweet 16 or even the Elite Eight. I don't really remember. But I remember I almost put them in my Final Four. I am not joking with you. I almost did. But I'm like, nah, like, I just don't think they're going to be able to get to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to see that. I love like the smaller school Cinderella stuff, even though they're going up even against a smaller school and a smaller Cinderella or a bigger Cinderella. But I think that San Diego State is going to be able to get to it. Yeah, exactly. OJ, what do you think out of this game? Who do you got coming out of this one?
I'll guess Florida American, just cause, I mean, at this point, why not? Right.
Florida American. I thought it was Florida Atlantic.
Florida Atlantic, sorry.
Florida Atlantic.
I misspoke.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
I misspoke.
Okay, cool.
But
no, you're good. I was just like, what? Damn.
Why not? This is basically like an entire Final Four of Cinderella stories, kind of like.
Pretty much, in a sense.
Not that UConn is a nobody, but like 4 seed, like that's, you know, they're like the highest seed left still, right?
Like, yeah.
I don't know. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
so,
technically they were, because I think Miami was a 5th seed originally.
Is fifth, right? Correct. Yep.
So
yeah.
From here on out, I'm just gonna go 9 seed all the way.
Absolutely, all I right. agree with I agree with him 100% on this.
So I'm by myself with San Diego State.
Yeah, I was gonna say no, nope. And the reason why this is considering all the upsets this year, you know, and that's I just completely got screwed on this thing. I'm going Florida Atlantic. Going in, you know, going into the finals with, I'm going to go with UConn though.
Yep. Man, okay. And so Florida Atlantic wins the whole thing.
Exactly. I've got to put Florida Atlantic with UConn. So there you go. That's my.
That's
my,
what right, I'll
so
do.
My final. We got, so you got UConn, Adam. OJ, you have UConn or Miami?
You know what? I'll just do Miami to be different. So we can still like win. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So just to have a unique bracket. So I'll go Miami, Florida Atlantic winning the championship. Total score, I'll stick with my pool host one of 130 in case where there's a tie.
Okay. Yeah, I mean I'm not gonna keep track of the you know the points and stuff, even though I guess I should, but I'm gonna go in the finals.
No. Right, it really doesn't.
I'm going to go with the battle of the 5 seeds for the finals, San Diego State versus Miami. And this is hard. I thought long and hard on this. I really think that Miami is going to pull it off. I just think it's their year, to be quite honest with you. I want San Diego State to win it because it's more of an underdog, more of a Cinderella story. But I think Miami out of these 4 teams has shown me enough to be able to do it. But they got to obviously get through UConn. If they get through UConn, I think that they'll have a very good chance.
Sure. I mean, why not? You're either right. Playing another 5 seed or a 9 seed.
If you get exactly.
Utah. Yeah. Like, nope, they got to be thinking, man, this is the best chance we'll have to win a natty in a long time.
Amen to that.
You're not going to get this just come around again.
Yeah. Got to make this chances count, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right, guys. Well, let's get close here to finishing up the podcast. Let's play a little game here of under over, right? Since we can kind of do some quick hits on some of the things going on here. I got two of them prepared. Unless one of you guys want to go first or whatever for the under over. Does anybody want to start with their prediction?
Yeah, okay. So I'll do one.
Go ahead.
I've got I was listening to a soccer podcast yesterday, and they mentioned that in the past it's taken around 40 points in order for a team to make the playoffs in the MLS. So my over-under is over-under 40 points for St. Louis this year.
I am going now? To – yeah, we're at 15 now, correct. Yeah.
Let's call it 40 and a half. So just go over under 40 and a half points. Okay. That way we can
– So it's either 40 or 41, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I got you. Okay. All right. I'm going to say over. I think that this team definitely has the tenacity to be able to get over 40 points. I mean, obviously, you're almost halfway there now, right, in the first five games. So I think that you really have a good opportunity of being able to get in. So I'm definitely going to take over on this one for sure. Adam, what about you?
Definitely taking over on this as well. I mean, I have no reason to believe that we won't, considering that we've been playing exceptionally well. And I have confidence that we'll be over.
Sure. Cool. Well, Adam, what about you? What's an under over that you have for us?
Under over on on Nolan Arenado, how many home runs? I would say they're saying on average 25 and a half home runs for this season for Arenado. What are your thoughts on over under on that?
OJ, you go first.
Yeah.
Over under 25 and a half on here.
25 and a half. Yeah.
Barring injury, I'm going to go over.
Yeah.
I think he's more of a 30.
I agree. Guy.
I think so. I'm going to go over as well. I think that he might not get to the 30 plateau, but I see 28, 29, somewhere around there. I think over 25 for sure. 25 and a half. So, yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
I'll take over there. All right. I'm going to go back to soccer for mine here. So STL SC gets 25 wins in a season. So there's some context to this one, though. The record, it was set in 1998 by both DC United and LA Galaxy, who got 24 wins. There are 34 games in the season. Do STLSC get over 25 wins, under or over? We'll start with you, Adam.
Can you repeat that question one more time?
Sure. STLSC is under or over 25 wins.
On the season. 34 win season.
I would say.
Or out of a 34 game season. Yeah.
I would. So 25 out of 34.
I'm losing only single digits.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm gonna go under because that's an average of like 735. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go under.
And there's draws too.
Right.
So you don't even
have to. I'm going under. I'm going under.
Yeah. So
that's. Yeah. I mean, as awesome as that would be, but I'm taking the under.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think they'll lose some games in at some point. They'll probably lose and draw more than nine games. I don't think.
Correct. Yeah.
Unless they really can just keep this up. I don't know that they can. We'll see.
Prove me wrong.
I'm going to take the over, guys. I think. Yeah. I'm just going to do
nice.
It.
Nice. Okay. Good.
I want to do it. It'll be historically good in their first season. Hey, if that happens, then we've got some certified geniuses running this shit.
Yep.
I mean, they found the one Miguel Perez guy in a freaking park somewhere, and now he's playing for the USMT under 19 team.
Exactly. All right, OJ, you got one more for us in the under over?
Let's see. So. I'm trying to think. I kind of would rather do more of a prediction. Next game, who do you got scoring a goal for City SC, if anybody? You got Klaus, Leuven, or Giacchini. Just pick between those three.
Obviously, Klaus, no doubt.
Klaus.
You're going to say the dude's already had five, right? So.
Yes.
Leuven, he's got four assists. I think it's time for him to, you know, start racking up a goal. I'm going to go even one above that. He's going to get two goals.
You think Leuven's going to get two?
Yeah.
That would be a hell of a game.
Wow.
Maybe. Yeah, I have to give
Josh, you know, he's not afraid to go out there on a limb.
Hey,
so.
You might as well, right? So,
right, yeah.
In that spirit, I'm going to say this Pedro guy. He's this he hasn't played yet. He's been a sub, but they haven't played him yet. He's like the Bosnian guy that we got. And like all the Bosnians in St. Louis were like really wanting to see him play, but he hasn't yet. So I'm going to say he gets minutes this game and he scores a goal.
I like it. Nice. A bench goal. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Like
it. Yeah.
All right, Adam, you got one more.
Yeah, sure. I'll go for one more. Over or under for the Cardinals this season, averaging 85 and a half wins. What are your thoughts? Over or under on that?
Man. I'll go ahead and take this one here. I'm going to say over. Mm-hmm. I think that we have a high powered offense, and the way that the game is getting away from like the more of the defensive stuff, I think that our pitching mm-hmm. can figure it out. We have a good enough defense for it. Over 85 and a half, I definitely think that, because, you know, if you break that down, mm-hmm. you know, that's four games above 500. Yeah, I'm definitely taking the mm-hmm. over for sure.
Definitely.
This is the Pacoda projection, right? Which the Cardinals yep. beat by like seven every, like an average yep. of seven wins yep. every year. Yeah, yep. I think I'll take the over.
Definitely
take
the over. The over as well. Yeah.
And all right, 85 and a half is basically like a 93 win team for sure.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Okay. So my last one here for you guys is a little different. But Dylan Carlson plays in 50 games or 50% of the season with the Cardinals. So he actually plays in the game, whether it's a pinch hit or he starts, he plays in 50% of the games this season, under or over.
I'm going to say over. And the reason is I think they truly do intend to utilize all four of their outfielders.
Platoon them.
They've stated that they want to have a rotation, which really, if you think about it, there's plenty, since they can all play any outfield spot except for Jordan Walker. Like, there's lots of opportunities to get people out there. And then you throw in the DH and pinch hitting opportunities and stuff like that. And I think there's going to be actually more than enough at-bats to go around for all four of those players. So they'll probably each get over, like, say, like 450, somewhere around there, I guess, at-bats.
We'll
you know, unless somebody gets hurt, then
exactly, obviously,
yeah. will change, but.
Exactly. That changes everything.
So, yeah, I'll say over.
Okay. Adam, what about you?
I'm definitely going over on this because, I mean, looking at the average, that's only a third of the season. Actually, that's less than a third of the season. That's like 30%. So, I, you know, last year, you know, he was averaging more than double that. You know, I agree with OJ that we will definitely see him in definitely more than 50 starts. So.
No, 50% of the game. So 81.
Oh, 50%. Yeah.
Yeah. So 81 81 games out of the 162.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said 50 games. My bad.
No, yeah, 50%. Yeah, no, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll still go with over. Yep.
You know, I get it. Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm actually going to take the under on this, and the reason why is I think that he's actually going to end up getting traded at some point. There's some rumors kind of going around now that we're going to look for a starting pitcher for starting pitching for him. I don't know. I just got a weird feeling that Dylan Carlson ain't going to be a Cardinal for very much longer. So that's the reason why I even wrote it down. You know what I mean? But I'm going to go with under for it.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fair. That's under fair.
Yeah.
You probably still get a pretty good pitcher for him, too.
Exactly. Because, like, he does have potential, and he just might need to get out of St. Louis where he's surrounded by all this other talent. You know what I mean? And not to be compared to you know, Soto anymore, too, because that is still what people and the fans look at him as. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Could have had Juan Soto.
Exactly, but you had to keep dealing
San Diego. There you go.
As if the deal was Dylan Carlson for Juan Soto, straight up.
Right, exactly.
People are so
he had to go. If he had to go somewhere other than, you know, with us, at least he wound up in San Diego, and I'm happy Padres, with that, yeah. At least. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Beat up better LA.
Than Dodgers. Yeah, I was going to say better than right. Dodgers. So.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Yeah, so we'll see, you know, how they play out with Dylan Carlson, but. Let's head here to a wrap up. Adam, what do you got for us on the socials here?
Yeah, so we're going to be asking all of our listeners out there, since today is, of course, the Cardinals opening day. We want to know from our fans, you know, what are your favorite opening day memories? I'd love for you to be able to share them with us in the comments. We'll be posting it out there on facebook.com/thehometownlosers. That's LOUSERS. And you can also hit us up on Twitter, twitter.com/hometownlosers, LOUSERS. So get out there, share it, you know, let us know, you know, your hometown, your memories of opening day. I was going to say, I have a lot of great memories from the old Bush. Used to go there all the time as a kid. And I think we all have those, you know, those special memories of opening day. And so we'd like to hear yours as well.
Very good question. Let's throw it over here to OJ here. So we're starting kind of like a new little segment here. OJ is going to give us his game of the week and kind of tell us why he believes that should be the game of the week. OJ, what's your game of the week?
So my game of the week is going to be one of the leagues that has weekly matches, the St. Louis S City game against Minnesota United FC, as City looks to continue their undefeated start. We want to see if they can break that record. I think it's 7 wins to start the season held by LAFC and Kansas City or Sporting Kansas City.
Sporting Kansas City, I know, has 7. Yeah.
At 7. So we win this game, and then we got Seattle. If we win those two games, then people will have to say that St. Louis is good. So let's
go.
Like, you know, so that's my game of the week is – the St. Louis is playing for some really important, interesting stuff, and it's just been really fun to watch. And it's going to be another home game, so let's all enjoy that. Tune in this weekend.
For sure. All right, well, appreciate it, OJ. Yeah, I'm very looking much forward to it. But again, guys, I always look forward to this podcast as well. I appreciate everybody here. Appreciate the listeners. And we will catch you here next week on the Hometown Losers podcast.
This is OJ, and I wanted to thank you guys for listening to the equivalent of three dudes sitting at a bar talking about sports. We'll catch you next week on the Hometown Losers.